Hello, this is Councillor Christine Mills, the Mayor of Wolverhampton. I have great pleasure in declaring the 200th edition of the Milk Bar officially open.
Welcome to the Milk Bar. 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 Welcome to the Milk Bar.
Welcome along to episode 200 of the Milk Bar.
Yay!
I do like that. Real live people in the studio. And Jason and Zoe here near the microphones. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm near the cakes as well.
There are cakes, yes. So it is the 200th episode. And we have cake baker extraordinaire in the studio. Jan, come in on microphone. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Thank
you. Often help out with production throughout the last, nearly 4 years now.
Yes.
And here with camera and lots of guests for the show.
That's
and cakes.
Important.
Introduce us to the cakes to start off with. And what do you have here? Because there are decorations and all sorts.
Well, yes, I must admit, I'd already made the chocolate cake.
When you remembered I don't eat chocolate.
And that's the one I've decorated with, the Milk Bar.
Yeah, very nicely
and
done.
I hadn't got room to put 200 on it, I'm afraid.
So we have two candles.
And I sort of ran out of red icing anyway.
Okay.
So it's got two candles, each candle represents 100 episodes.
That's fantastic. I like that. That's great.
And then there's a special white chocolate cake for you.
Which is a good third of the size of the other one. So I do best out of this, I reckon.
Yeah.
So that's
suddenly remembered.
That's all
is
good.
That all for
and
you,
and
Jason?
The chocolate on the top is Louis Barnett chocolate.
Yeah, he's now going off gallivanting chat with people like Chris Evans and the BBC, so we haven't spoken to him for a while, but there we go.
There we are.
Two have we got coming up on the show today, then? Should we work out where in the studio?
Or
did you remember everything from the email I sent you earlier?
I didn't. I do remember the animal man, because I can see his animals.
Ah, John Conlon is here, and just say a quick hello. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
Very good, very good.
And you have some friends down there.
We've brought a few friends with us for you to meet tonight,
None of them furry, though, unfortunately.
I think one of them technically is furry, just quite pointy fur.
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So we'll be having a chat with John from Analytics in a very short while's time. We have Robert Chesworth, who we shall hear on call Ches as we go through the programme. Good day to you, sir.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
And the giveaway, Zoe, for you is he's wearing a picture of a bee on his shirt.
That's right.
So we'll be talking beehives.
And I haven't brought any of my friends
with
me.
That's good. Because the fly spray might have been out. That would have been just plain embarrassing. We have live music in the form of Dave Love, who joins us with his guitar. And we also get to talk about Mastermind with you, don't we, sir?
We certainly do. Hello, cyberspace, by the way.
So some tunes from Dave very soon. Also, the mayor joining us on the phone. Yes,
more
from there is. It's just amazing. You can't move for things going on because we also have on the phone now Malcolm Hughes from WBOS. Now, this is the West Bromwich Operatic Society.
We're WBOS Youth Theatre.
Yes, because you're the youth division and you are chairman. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, first of all, I want to plug to start off with the event that the adult section of your group are doing over at the Grand Theatre at the moment. From the 23rd through to the 27th of April, they have Crazy For You.
That's right.
And that goes on from 7:30 each evening, with Wednesday and Saturday matinees at 2:30. It's priced at £8.50 to £19.50. Do check out the Grand's website, grandtheatre.info, for more information and to book tickets, or give them a call on 01902 429212. But this is particularly good for you because two of the stars in that are actually graduates from the youth section, aren't they?
Yes, Leon was an original youth member, which we're going back 25 years.
Yeah.
And then Claire joined a couple of years later. And they actually performed together in the youth production of Hello Dolly. And now they're playing opposite each other in Crazy For You.
So it must be great for you when you've seen these guys who are working on this. And you're actually going to one of the rehearsals tonight, where you're going to see the fruits of the labours that come through from the youth work.
Yeah. There's a lot of youth members in there that have moved on from the youth side into the adult company. We had quite a few. It's just a natural progression for them.
Well, what's classed as a youth? Is it under 18, is it? And then once they hit 18, they'll
The youth is from 10 to 19.
Oh, right, OK.
Those are the age group that are actually working with you in a show that you have taking place at the Mill Theatre, which is Don't Stop Believing.
That's right. We're doing a concert called Don't Stop Believing on Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of May, with a matinee on the Sunday at 2:30. And the tickets are £12.50, but students and pensioners are £10.50.
So an opportunity on two occasions to see the work of West Bromwich Operatic. When they're coming together for a show like this, do they get to have an input into what sort of songs are going to be performed? Because is this a mixture of just popular tracks?
Well, what we actually do, we actually pick as a company 8 chorus numbers, and then the rest is made up by the youth themselves, and they come in one Sunday in January and audition.
Mm-hmm.
And they can pick anything, they can sing, they can dance, they can do anything they like. And normally we sit between 95 and 100 auditions in that day, and we just have to pick about 28.
Wow.
Gosh, a bit like X Factor then, isn't it?
Well, it is a little bit, but we're not as tough on them.
And you let them enjoy themselves afterwards as
Oh,
well.
Actually, it's a sort of enjoyable day, yeah, because we've got a lot of, you know, we have got a lot of good youth, so it's worth sitting there. It's so nice entertainment.
So how many do you have on your books in total then? Can anyone come along, for starters?
We've got 70. Mm-hmm. And we have got a waiting list, but we have got opportunities for older lads, because a lot of our older lads are leaving this year. So if anybody's interested, they just need to get on the website, which is WBOS Youth Theatre, and then come along to a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. We rehearse on a Friday night at All Saints School in Wilford Road, West Bromwich. But if they come along any Friday night, and they just fill in an application form, and they can see what's going on, and then they'll have to audition to get in.
And how do the costs work out for this? Because it can't be cheap running these things and hiring venues.
No. Well, we've just done Joseph at the Lichfield Garrick, and that cost £32,000 to put on.
Wow. And the members didn't have to find that themselves, did they, I hope?
Oh, no. All they do is pay £70 a year. But as I said, once Don't Stop Believing is finished, we then go back to the Garrick in November and do Miss Saigon. And the budget for that is
£39,000. Wow.
It's quite scary figures, isn't it?
It is, and you can see why it is so expensive to go out to the theatre as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, you're keeping the cost down. As an amateur production, there's a level of interest there as well, because it's a chance to see people who are going to maybe be the stars of the future, but also friends and family get to come along and see their kids on stage.
Well, yeah, and I think they have quite a shock when they finally get there to see it, because it is very professional. I mean, there's a professional set, there's a full orchestra, you know, it's a proper production.
Mm. I think sometimes parents are quite amazed as well at how well their children do, because I don't think they realise their full potential, do they, until they see them on a proper stage with, you know, the proper costumes and everything.
Oh, no. Well, a lot of the parents come and think they're going to see, just a school production.
Yeah.
And although school productions are very, very good, this is a little bit more, because schools can't afford to spend £39,000 like we do on hiring a proper theatre.
Well, have a great time with that one. Give us the full details on where then get tickets for Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. If you'd like to phone 0121 353... 3531 and ask for Jim. He will take your details.
That's 0121 353 3531. Jim is your man there. And tickets are priced at?
At £12.50 and £10.50 concessions for students and pensioners.
And what's the website again?
It's WBOS Youth Theatre.
And of course, so if you do want to go along and see Crazy For You, if you fancy that musical...
You'll have a thoroughly enjoyable night.
And once again, that's at the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre, Tuesday the 23rd through Saturday the 27th of April. Evenings at 7.30 on that one, with a Wednesday and Saturday matinee at 2.30. Tickets priced £8.50 through to £19.50 and 01902 429212 or grandtheatre.info for more information and to buy your tickets. Malcolm, lovely speaking to you. Great having you along. It is the 75th anniversary of West Brom this year, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
And going strong for many, many years to come,
I'm sure.
And
many more, I hope.
Yeah, fantastic. Malcolm, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And now we have live music in the studio, and I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure what to expect from Mr. Dave Love. All it says is live music on my running order.
We do
that
like live music, though, so
we do,
I'm
yes.
sure it'd be good.
Well, it's live.
Is it actually music?
Jury's
You've got a guitar.
Out. Jury's out. I have musical instruments, and I do something other than actually talk it. So it's on its way to music.
It's not rapping then.
I don't rap. No.
Well, okay, we will see what happens then. So you play a tune, we'll have a chat afterwards. But first of all, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and welcome Mr. Dave Love.
Oi, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Molyneux. I should say this is a song. I feel it's my duty. I'm a public servant. This is a public service address. And therefore, since they stopped all those wonderful adverts they used to put on that were all in the public interest, here's my little bit. I want to warn you about the most dangerous word in the world. If you're facing the terrible prospect of a horrible job to do, you wonder which way to begin it, and you realise you haven't a clue. There's a magical abracadabra that's certain to pull you through. You make use of a four-letter word and a mug who's more stupid than you. Just hoover up the staircase. Just sweep the garage floor. Just tidy up the borders. Just mend the kitchen drawer. Just make a little tree house. It's easy as can be. There's no I, but there's certainly a U in J-U-S-T. If thinking was never your strong suit, or your bone bloody idol at best, make use of this magical charm, and hey presto, your life will be blessed. Preface requests or instructions with that innocent word which you've guessed. They'll be fooled into thinking it's easy, and no one will dare to protest. Just work a little faster. Just chat a little less. Just do without a lunch break. Just sort out all the mess. Just take a little pay cut. Just do the work of three. There's no I, but there's certainly a U in J-U-S-T. Just feed the starving millions. Just before the evening's news. Just nurture seeds of love between just the Arabs and the Jews. Simples. Just to make a little fortune just for poor old little me. There's no I, but there's certainly a U in J-U-S-T. Just reconcile quantum mechanics with relativity. Just build a nuclear reactor just in time to do the tea. Just spare me all the details. They're just too mundane for me. You see, there's no I, but there's definitely you in J-U-S-T. In J-U-U and you, not me. In J-U-S-T, not me.
Very good.
Enjoy that, excellent. As we know what to expect now. So, Dave, obviously you're creating your own work and rather enjoying yourself doing it.
Yes.
Where do you get gigs doing stuff like that?
Well, primarily folk clubs who mm-hmm. have actually cottoned on to the fact that I don't do folk songs. And, I've been sort of taking advantage of them now since about 1980, 81, 82, where I actually found that in folk clubs you have listening audiences. Because as you could imagine, that sort of stuff doesn't go down very well as ambience.
No, you have to pay attention to the words.
Yes, that's right. And I don't really like people talking over me while I'm doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, occasionally you do pub gigs, but you could end up in a fight at the end of that.
At least you're armed with a guitar.
They don't want to listen to me, and I don't want to listen to them talking. Yeah. You know, so that's a bit of an impasse. But folk clubs, fantastic places, because they'll clap any old rubbish, and they'll listen, and they'll listen to it. And usually they're switched on, mm-hmm. because, you know, your folk club audience is usually, you know, a couple of ratchets up the IQ scale compared to what you might find in some places. So they get stuff, and they get it quite quickly.
And they enjoy the jokes, which is the important
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit on this mastermind thing then, because you actually were a question in our end of year quiz last year.
I've been told that, and I really wish I'd have known, because I'd have set my iPod or whatever it was to catch that.
You can still get it on the internet, it is there.
Remember what the question was?
No, I can't. It was something about this bloke did this.
He was on Mastermind. Was David Love.
Yes.
If that's the answer, it was a pretty stupid question.
But how did you end up doing Mastermind? Is it one of those where all your family have gone for years? Oh, you should go on that.
No, not really. The very first time I ever applied to go on it, the final was shown on a New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
This has gone absolutely years. And I'd had one or two to drink. And I had quite a good run on the general knowledge questions. And I said, whoa, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the address to write off to get an application.
So in slurred handwriting.
So yes, I filled in a postcard, posted it to the postbox up the road, and then forgotten I'd done it afterwards because, you know, it was
sobered
in a haze. Yeah. And then they rang me up, and I went and did an interview with the original producer, whose name was Bill Wright, who got the idea of the programme from having actually been interrogated by the Germans, by the Gestapo. He was interrogated. You know, it's a sort of a name, rank and serial number type of setting, mm-hmm. isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
So I did. I didn't do well enough to get on, so I forgot about it for a while. But then when I was a bit older some years ago and I started to work in Birmingham, it was easy to go to the auditions. I had to go to Pebble Mill the first time I tried. But now you can. I just walk literally 2 minutes to the mailbox out of the front door of where I work, and you can do the auditions. And eventually they had me on. And I've been in three different series now. And the first two, I did all right, but I didn't win. I thought all I want to do is just win one show.
Mm-hmm.
So this time round, or last year now, I got on. I was allowed to do the subject that I'd wanted to do all along, but hadn't been allowed to because the somebody had done it previously and they don't like to repeat questions. So I did Vaughan Williams as my specialist subject, and I won on that. And then I got back, and the bonus was to get through the semi-finals on British Birds of Prey. And I did Tom Lehrer as my specialist subject in the final, which got me, this is the most important thing, I may have come third in the end, but I was the real winner because I was the one who got a trip to Boston, basically at your expense, on the Lancers Bay's expense, whereas the chap who won it just got sent to a Scottish beach to watch dolphins.
Right, so yeah, you got to go to the location to do with your specialist subject.
Yes, so you give a little talk, and I went round Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
They guerrilla filmed around Harvard because they don't like you to film in Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And we got passes, but they hadn't come through, so we had to sneak around and keep our eyes open for security.
I think that's recently happened in Korea as well, but
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit like, yeah. And then we went downstairs to a nightclub in Boston where Tom Lehrer had performed. Actually, only once, but it was a good setting.
Neighbours, you know, or something, couldn't I? Go to Australia then.
Yeah. Australia's nice, but you've got no capacity for learning things over. You're not going to get to the semi-final.
I don't know,
but
neighbours.
It is a good tactic once you've worked that one out.
Yeah.
You know, save you. You've got to get through to the final, but if you do that, pick something like the Great Barrier Reef or whatever.
Yeah, somewhere
whatever.
Really good.
And you get a nice trip out of them.
So we'll have another tune from you in a bit, okay?
Yeah, you will, whether you like it or not. You'll have another tune from me now.
And now stepping up to the mic, Chez from South Staff's Beekeepers Association. Hello, sir.
Hi there.
Now, how are you?
I'm fine. Nice to see you again.
And good to see you. And you're the one who hasn't brought any of your friends.
I've not brought any of my dear little girls.
Thank goodness.
But how many bees do you, I would say own, but how many bees do you work with?
I've no idea how many bees I've got at the moment. I've got two colonies, but the weather's been so appalling I haven't opened them up yet, so I've absolutely no idea how many or how few there might be inside the hive.
So what do they get up to over winter?
In the winter, they simply cluster together and flap their wings while being stationary,
mm-hmm.
and the heat from using the muscles keeps them warm.
Now, is this the point at which are they maybe eating honey or something to try and keep going, or does that not happen?
If they've got honey, they will be eating it.
Yeah.
Whether
you've taken it all. If it's on your toast, they haven't got a home.
No, I fed them some sugar.
Uh-huh.
I fed them fondant earlier this year,
actually. Cream eggs you fed them, basically.
No. It was slabs of fondant.
Right.
Kilo and a half.
Mm-hmm. And that keeps them happy, does it?
It keeps them happy for a while, yes. But today they've been out, so they've been collecting something from somewhere today. Obviously nectar from somewhere, and they've been bringing in pollen. Probably from, there might be a few dandelions around, crocuses. The snowdrops, of course, are over, but perhaps a daffodil or two. There might also be some willows where the catkins are producing pollen.
And have you seen your bee numbers moving over the last few years? Have you been able to sustain a good colony without any major problems?
You're talking to the wrong person, really. Mm-hmm. I moved house 2 years ago.
Ah.
So as I only moved about half a mile as the bee flies, if I'd moved the bees with when we moved, they would simply have flown back to the old garden
and tried to work out where the hive
and
was.
And wondered where their house had gone.
Them. Yeah.
So I gave all my bees away while we moved, and then started again.
Mm-hmm.
The winter before last, I went into the winter with two colonies and lost them both over the winter. But this year I've gone into the winter, as I say, gone into the winter with two colonies and managed to bring both of them through. That's one good. I know is very weak, but one seems to be quite well.
Do they last long? I mean, how long would an average bee last?
Survive. An ordinary bee will survive about 6 weeks only during the summer. She works herself to death. It's always the ladies, of course.
See?
During the winter, they have to survive a lot longer, so the autumn-born bees survive 6 months to see them over the winter to keep the colony going until the queen can start laying and producing some new brood to take over from the old bees.
And it's the feeding cycle which can alter the properties of the bee, can't it? So do they change the way things work as they work in the way the weather starts to cool?
Well, they're not active. If there's nothing to go out for, they don't go.
Yeah,
and so they do not fly out. So
and that's what keeps them going longer.
That's what keeps them going longer.
Mm-hmm. I always thought they lasted longer than that. That's quite a short space of time, isn't it?
No, well, they actually work themselves to death.
Aww.
And it's the ladies, of course. But,
well,
but then you know that
you
work yourself to death as well, don't you? While we're around.
Not as Zoe, but there we go.
I mean, I suppose the queen bee, because isn't there, there's one that's.
That's how you like to think of yourself,
isn't
it? Yeah.
The queen will last many years longer. The queen may survive 3-4 plus the books say up to 5 years, although quite normally they will not last more than a couple of years, and they will either swarm or will be superseded and the daughter will take over the colony.
And is that because they stop in and they don't go out looking
for anything? They just stay in the hive. Once they've been mated, they go into the hive and they stay there, and their purpose is solely to lay eggs.
Oh, I don't know if I'd find out which one's worse. I mean, loads of children are working to death.
Up to 1,500, 1,500 eggs a day.
Gosh. Wow.
Their own body weight.
If we could, only we could have chickens that did that. There'd be an interesting change to the world, but there we are. Now, you've talked, when we were chatting on the way into the studio, you have four hives that are two colonies.
I've got four hives and two colonies.
So which one's the queen living then? Because how does that work?
Well, two are just a set of empty boxes.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the ones that are active have got the colonies in, so I've got two hives.
And do they get to choose where they want to live? I mean,
No.
You force them into the one you want.
I tell them where they live.
And where do you get new bees from? You have a disaster over winter. What happens next?
There are now quite a lot of bees for sale. Going back 20, 30
what, on eBay?
Years.
Or no, Beaver? No.
on eBay. because it's a strange situation, really. Over the last 10 years, 5 years even, the number of beekeepers has increased considerably. There's been so much publicity about the problems that the bees are experiencing that quite a lot of people think, well, I could do that. I could have a hive in my back garden. And so the number of beekeepers has almost doubled in the last 5 years. So that people are requiring bees. So that to meet that need, people are selling colonies of bees.
You have bee breeders.
Up until 10, 20 years ago, the normal method of obtaining a colony of bees was simply to collect a swarm. And people still do that. I still go out and collect swarms.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody in the Dudley area looks on the website for British Beekeepers Association, they can put in a postcode for where they live. If they live in a DY postcode, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm the one that they will dial up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is my privilege, and I consider it a privilege really, to go and collect swarms of bees. They are giving problems to people who don't want them. I can collect them and give them to beginner beekeepers who are desperate to get them.
Oh.
So I can put the two together.
Now, the phrase swarm, though, always sounds really
sounds
angry.
Quite scary, yeah.
Is there another collection term for bees who are on a friendly basis, whose honey you haven't just nicked?
Bees that are swarming are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
They, in general, they will not sting when they're swarming. They are full of honey. They are active. They're joyful. And they will... The swarm of bees will go and collect on a local tree, hopefully a tree, not on a fence post or a post box or
a person.
Whatever.
Yep.
And there they will collect until the scout bees, who fly off over the next hour or two, day or two, looking for a new site for them to find as their permanent home.
So they haven't actually got a home set up there.
They haven't got anything set up at that time, but of course the bees know all the places that could be suitable because they've already flown in that area. They're not totally new to that area.
So you wouldn't go along to somebody and go in their back garden and get, like, I'm using my mum as an example here, because last year she had, like, one of those big bird houses.
Yep.
And it got, a load of bees made their home in there. Would you go along to somewhere like that and take that set of bees, even though they'd already made the house somewhere, or is it down to like the exterminators to get rid of?
If they were causing a problem to your mother, and if they were honeybees, I would remove them. Yes.
So you take those and rehome them.
If they're in somebody's cavity wall, it is almost impossible to get them out. And as a beekeeper, I wouldn't even try.
So they'd be.
But if it's a bird box, it's more often than not, it is bumblebees, not honeybees.
As
this programme is going out in early spring, now is the time for people to look at their bird boxes. If they don't want the bees in the summer and autumn, now is the time to stop them starting a colony in their bird box.
Mm.
Similarly with wasps and so on, if they don't want them in the roofs later on, stop the mated queen from starting a colony where you don't want it now.
Right. Do they go back to the same place each year? Because I'm just wondering, perhaps whether she'll have the same thing this year.
Not normally, because it is not the same bees.
No. I didn't know whether they'd sent out a message.
But if it looked nice and the first lot of bees saw that and thought, I wouldn't mind living there, there's a fairly good chance the next lot are going to like the look of it as well.
It's possible. A swarm of honeybees will colonise an empty hive because that is the right size and the right smell for them. A wasp, on the other hand, will not colonise an old wasp nest. And in so doing, this prevents bees being transferred from one year to the next. But wasps, unlike honeybees, overwinter as hibernated female wasps, so that female emerges in the spring as a mated female, builds a small nest, lays a few eggs, incubates the eggs herself, and then those newly emerged wasps will then help their mother to build more cells,
mm-hmm.
so that she can lay more eggs so that the colony builds up.
It's a different tactic of doing it, yeah?
A honeybee colony overwinters as something like 10, 15,000 bees in the colony.
So you can actually... wasps are easier to deal with.
They're much easier to deal with, mm-hmm. to start with at the start of the year.
As long as you catch them then. But they do get angry a bit quicker, don't they?
But they will get angry later on in the year.
They all seem quite angry to me.
And a beekeeper will not move a wasp's nest for you.
No, because they're not stupid, are they? Beekeepers have got a brain in their head, so they're not going anywhere near that one. And if he doesn't make the sweet amber stuff at the bottom, they don't want to know.
No.
Well, Chase, it's great talking to you. What other tips would you give somebody who wanted to think about starting beekeeping?
Well, it's too late now for you to join our beginner's course,
mm-hmm.
because that will have started. But you can always put your name down for next year. We do run this beginner's course year on year, and we are normally oversubscribed. We have had to limit it to 40 people, and it runs from the end of April through to June. We have 7 theory sessions, which are then followed up on... The theory is normally on a Thursday evening, followed up on a Saturday morning with a practical work at our apiary at Shrugborough Park near Stafford. There is obviously a charge for this. We've had to increase the cost, and it's now £50. But that is for the whole thing. You get notes, you get some extra, you get a certain membership mm-hmm. of the association. And
you make a lot of contacts who can help you out afterwards as well.
And if anybody is thinking of doing beekeeping, I would strongly recommend that they do not start from scratch, mm-hmm. but they do a beekeeper's course, whether it's with us or whether it's somebody else.
How do they get in touch with you?
The best place is through the website, which is southstaffbeekeepers.co.uk.
And they can find out what they need to there. Is there a phone number as well?
You'll find that on the website.
Okay, cool. And they can have a chat that way.
Or you can even Google BBKA, which is the National Beekeepers, and they then can then put you in touch with your local nearest association.
But Chess, thank you for joining us.
Okay, that's a pleasure.
Cheers. We'll let you go off and play with your bees, and we'll have some more music now from Dave.
What are we going to hear then this time?
Right, yeah, Dave, what have you got lined up?
All right, well, we're surrounded by animals.
There's no way to talk about my co-host.
No, we're surrounded by animals, because remember, the most dangerous animal is a person. But we're surrounded by animals. We're surrounded by food scares. So I think...
Not in these cakes, I hope. I'm looking forward to them.
What's required? I think you're safe with the cake. I think you're okay. What's required is a little lateral thinking.
Okay.
If you don't want to see eco chicks come to harm on an intensive mass production factory farm, and if you eat little bar lambs and moo cows, see, you'll get scrapie, TB and BSC. So if you don't want drugs and germs between your bread and butter pieces, try the healthy option and consume endangered species at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Come along with me and I can be your host. There's a medal for the person who can eat the most at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Bitten is tender, bitten is nice. You can have it as a joint, you can have it as a slice. It's lovely with chips, delicious with rice, or on a bed of battered baby harvest mice. The meat is moist and succulent and not too rich or fatty, and goes well with Chianti and a Dartford Warbler patty. The Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Come along with me and I can be your host. We've got broiled red squirrel and smooth snake toast at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. You get up nice and early to avoid all of the hordes. Load your Mitsubishi with the samurai swords, catapults and pellet guns hidden under boards, and take a little trip up to the Norfolk Broads. Don your flippers, snorkel mask, make sure your wetsuit's that green slippin', so when you stalk your quarry, he's convinced you're an amphibian. From the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast, come along with me and I can be your host. We've got breeds so rare it's just like eating ghost at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. When you've culled your juicy bitten, take a sack and get it stowed with the ingredients for the stuffing that you've taken care to load, viz. Four crested newts and a natterjack toad, all freshly squeezed on the Chelmsford Road. Then, based with sperm whale oil from a recent beaching up in Fife, and I guarantee you'll never ever get a better bit of bitten on your knife at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Come along with me and I can be your host. Send your friend a portion of panda through the post from the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. So come on all you gourmets, come and join the queue. We've got tenderloin of rhino and axolotl too. There's koala burgers and I wouldn't eschew the three-toed sloth and the primate stew. There's a brace of kite shot fresh today at an Earthville near Port Maddock, and for a modest supplement there's even cod and haddock. The Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Come along with me and I can be your host. We've got all the things that we're really not supposed. Osprey, eggs, and we're even proud to boast breast of chuff bought specially from the coast at the Billericay Barbecue and Bitten Roast. Thank you.
Dave, thank you for that. Excellent. And hopefully that doesn't reflect on our next piece, because...
Oh, well, the tortoise was getting a bit agitated.
The tortoise looks a little bit scared. Yeah. John, you're on. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, Are they all right in there?
They didn't listen to the words, did they, then? Otherwise, we're going to have real problems.
The tortoise isn't scared. He's thinking about mating. He's trying to...
Oh, is that what he's doing? Yeah, right, okay.
I wonder what the rattling... There's a rattling noise going on down there, so that was it.
That was it.
So we have with you, so John Conlon, Animal Antics, and it's you brought three of your friends in today.
I have, yeah. And three pretty ones this time.
Pretty, yes. Because last time we met up, we did bring a rather cool lizard in. Now, there were some other creatures as well, weren't there? There was spiders.
No.
Yeah.
Fluffy what lizard was shoulder. It?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy that bit at all, but I'm not very good with spiders. So, it's just because Zoe gets a bit panicky. The only thing she doesn't like, apparently, is
snakes.
Yeah. And so, can we go there first?
We could do. Yeah.
Yes.
As long as it doesn't come in. Do you know, funnily enough, I say I don't like snakes, but I used to work for Pet World and I was in charge of the reptiles. So I had to look after all the snakes and the spiders and stuff, but I never used to put my hand in very often.
No.
But there were only babies, to be fair.
Okay, so what sort of snake do we have here?
Well, I said we've got pretty animals, so I brought a really pretty snake. And it's actually it's called a milk snake.
Does it bite?
Is it really?
Yeah, very, very common.
Yeah.
As pets. Beautiful striking colours.
Nice. That does look amazing. Yeah.
Has it been fed?
not this week. It's fed every 10 days.
Right.
Do you know if you've been eating previously and you can smell food on your fingers, is it likely to try and attack it?
Only if you've been eating mice.
Oh, that's all right.
Zoe, you might have to worry.
So I'm all right.
This is a rather pretty milk snake. It's a Honduran milk snake. Three colours, predominantly red, with black bands. Which sandwich a nice orange colour.
It does look nice, doesn't it? Skin looks well.
It's an amazing creature, and it's the way it's crawling around on your hand there. How does it trap its food? Because if it's mice, I take it it can move quite quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. I mean, it's just slithering very slowly now, but flicking its tongue out, just seeing if there's any mice around in your studio.
Do you feed the mice live? Because I know some people
No, it's
do.
Against the law to feed the
oh,
live
is it really?
Food.
Oh,
yeah, you're not
I've
allowed to feed
the
live
website.
Vertebrates to other vertebrates.
Okay.
In Britain, anyway.
You have to do them warm, I think, is what we used to do. We used to have dead ones, but we used to make them warm so they would think that they were still alive. Is that no
Many
good?
Many years ago, when things were taken from the wild, they would have to be tempted with thinking that the animal was alive they were eating.
Oh, okay, but that's not
But
the
these
case
days,
anymore.
No.
Hand reared, they used to chilled
At
food.
At the freezer, just room temperature defrosted.
Oh, right, okay.
And then fed.
How would he normally be looked after when you've got him in your. I suppose sanctuary is the best way of describing the way your animals live, isn't it?
He would live in a vivarium, which is a wooden enclosure to insulate the
Does he like
against
coming
heat
out
loss.
To be handled? He looks like he's quite happy there.
He's very, yeah, it's like most animals, if they're looked after properly and socialised correctly, then they don't have any problem interacting with people.
Hmm.
And talking of people, Zoe, could you please now interact with the snake for us?
Come on, Zoe, you can
it,
do
but
it.
I can't hold it.
This could be your chance to get over your fear.
No,
bearing in mind I had to deal with spiders last time I met this gentleman.
I'm all right with them, but it's just if they're going to
He's non-venomous, although he's brightly coloured, he is a constrictor, so he would bite you first and then wrap around and constrict.
Nice.
Although he is very strong, his power really is just for lizards and mice.
So are you feeling brave?
I can stroke him. I don't know about holding him.
Okay, so if we introduce you, if you'd like to make your way over to meet him. Go on, take him your hand. There we go. John's going
to
look after that bit, but you're actually supporting his weight.
Do you know, I like their tails, the very end bit.
He measures probably around 4 feet.
4 foot long?
Yeah, just over a metre.
And he's now trying to wrap himself around the metalwork in the studio. If he was to try and do that, how difficult would it be to get him back off again afterwards?
In these big spaces, not a problem, but if you got in amongst all those wires and that grid,
yeah,
you'd have a nightmare.
Yeah, so don't let him near the untidy desk, I think.
Is he just shed?
Yeah, right. not John.
No, I mean, sometimes when they're due to shed, they go like a really dull colour, don't they? Because
they're
so bright. Is he just like recently shed?
He shed about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And how often would he do that?
He'll shed roughly about every 6 weeks while he's growing.
Ooh.
That obviously slows down
is
with
he
age.
He's still growing, then.
It's just a process which helps them to repair their skin and allow for growth and expansion, like the rest of us.
So, too many mice can cause a problem.
He's quite sweet,
isn't he? Mm-hmm.
He is cold-blooded, as all reptiles are. So, in that vivarium we were speaking about, he would need artificial heat, you know, to replicate the sun. Temperature variation in the enclosure from sort of 74, 76 down the cool end, right the way up to 84 degrees in the warm end.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so he can regulate his body temperature by movement, as he would in the wild, going into the sun.
He can have a hot head and cold tail if he wants to as well.
If
depending.
He wanted to, he could. Yeah, not a problem. They get their name milk snake because many years ago, they're from sort of Central America, And it was believed that they drank the milk from the goats mm-hmm. and the llamas, the udders, mm-hmm. as they were corralled overnight. They were found in there. And I guess the...
they were maybe they're going for there for warmth rather than anything else.
Well, they're going in there for the mice and rodents mm-hmm. and lizards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a corral and you've got animal food, animal bedding, animal poo...
You're going to get rodents, yeah.
And it was just a myth, obviously. They can't drink milk at all. You know, they're lactose intolerant.
Sorry, do they spend much time awake? Or I mean, how often in a day?
You can never really tell when a snake's awake because their eyes are permanently open. They have a transparent scale that covers their eye, called a brill. And they never ever close their eyes. They've got no eyelids and no ears. And that's what separates them from lizards.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like lizards. I'd like to have a bearded dragon.
Yeah, well, you feel a lot safer now he's gone back into his carry pouch as well. So
it's not too bad. It's right.
You cope with the snake fairly well.
Yeah, you see, I think my trouble when I worked at Pet World, it's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
They were all like really small snakes and they wasn't used to being handled, so they would quite often go for you because they didn't know any better, if you saw what I mean. But snakes like that, when they're well handled, they don't mind being picked up so much.
You can imagine if you're a baby snake at probably... 30 centimetres, and a big
really
hand
small.
Comes towards you. Yeah, many times bigger than you. You can defend yourself.
Because I have been bitten a few times by them.
And you've lived to tell the tale, though.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt. It just shocks you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do we have next? And do I get to meet the next one? I think
just before we move on,
yeah,
I have a spurious link for you.
Oh, okay.
Between me and one of your guests earlier on,
West Bromwich
Operatic Society. Yeah, they did a production of Whistle Down the Wind at Dormston
mm-hmm.
last year.
Yeah.
And we provided the snakes live on stage for
wow,
them.
Wow, they were real life snakes.
Yeah, yeah.
And that must be interesting to try and control, yeah.
It was, yeah. But they were very good.
The snakes
were... We had to go to rehearsals and make sure the cast were happy with them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one lady who was pretty terrified and had to stay on the opposite side of the stage.
But by the end of the run, she was only moderately terrified.
No. Still terrified. Wouldn't even come in sight of them. When they were on stage, she was off.
Mm-hmm.
They'd done the scenes so that she wasn't included in the scenes and all sorts.
It must be quite difficult in acting roles like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so who are we meeting next?
Okay, we've got Fred.
Ah, right.
He's the mating
one. He's the tortoise.
He is the amorous tortoise, yeah. Fred is a spur-thighed tortoise, and they're found sort of North Africa through to Spain. And he's a new acquisition with us. He actually has only joined us this week.
Oh, right.
A lady who lives quite local,
mm-hmm.
who
was getting a little
getting
troubled.
She was getting older now, and her husband passed away.
A long time, don't they?
We don't know exactly how old they'll last, but it's believed to, you know, 100 years.
Yeah, gosh.
Sadly, when they were imported in numbers in the 50s and 60s and 70s, they were in poor condition by the time they reached our shores, and then very rarely lasted more than a few years, and those that did were really just surviving as opposed to thriving.
Yeah.
Because we didn't understand the biology of them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We used to keep them in the garden, hibernate them in shoeboxes.
You know, I saw Blue Peter.
Totally wrong. Yeah, every year.
Is that not right, then, hibernating in shoeboxes?
No. The purists now will use a fridge to hibernate them.
Really?
Yeah. They cut little seals in little holes in the seals of the door and hibernate them. The perfect hibernation temperature is 3 to 5 degrees.
Wow. You wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, and then they bring them out of hibernation, which Fred's just done recently. Warm them up quickly, give them a bath to flush the so they drink and flush the urates out of their blood.
And you have to clean their eyes carefully, though, don't you? That must have been true on Blue Peter. No, Leslie Judd did that so many times. It was unnecessary.
If they're hibernated correctly, then you very rarely get crud around them, you know. So
how old would you say that one was?
We actually know how old Fred is. He was born in 1997.
Ah.
Which makes him around 18.
Does he say 15? Yeah.
Because now, thankfully, they're controlled. They're not imported from the wild. All the tortoises you see on sailing shops are captive bred. They come with certification from DEFRA, which is the government office, to say that they're captive bred.
And how messy are they? Because they can throw fruit for England, can't they?
Very messy. You look in the box here. He's been in here probably...
I don't think he likes the Express and Star, does he?
I won't say what's on the centre pages. He's messed all over either. But
he's got lovely little legs, very, though, very the way smelly. He's stretching his legs out.
They need to be cleaned daily,
mm-hmm.
their enclosures, because they eat and scuffle the food everywhere, as you say, and then it comes out the other end. In the wild, they fertilise as they go along. They eat and go to the toilet.
It's good for the garden.
And that will fertilise the ground that they've... they've just cleared, and it will help to replenish the growth of the undergrowth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need quite a big cage, or I mean, what?
Something like that. I mean, Fred here is about probably 10 inches. He's virtually fully grown now. That's about as big as these spurthides get. You'd look at something 3 to 4 feet for him. A lot of people now use tortoise tables, which are like tabletops.
I've never seen one of them in IKEA.
No. it just allows for ventilation, a lot more ventilation.
As you say, do they have to be kept warm or anything?
They do have to be kept warm. You can see the heat lamp on his box there. He needs temperatures during the day of up to sort of 90 degrees Fahrenheit, enable for him to break down his food and his body to function properly. And then at night, the heat's removed.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it doesn't get below sort of 10 degrees, then...
Otherwise, he'll end up in hibernation at the wrong time again.
Yeah.
See, I think those with reptiles, and we used to see it quite a lot at where I used to work. People buy these little things and they look small and cute, but they don't realise exactly how big they're going to get, what work they're going to need to look after them properly. You know, you really need to go to a pet shop who knows what their stuff and knows how to tell somebody.
Tortoises are probably the hardest reptile to look after, you know, certainly amongst them. But there are some really good specialists out there that
will give you good advice and after sales care.
And that's what you should look for if you're ever thinking of purchasing anything, really. Your research, a local person who can help you out, other keepers who already keep.
And now you have a third animal. Now, this is my, by far the one I think I know I'm going to absolutely love. I have met a couple of these in the past.
You're going to stroke
sleeping,
Jason.
So.
Oh, sorry. I should be quiet.
He's woke up.
So here we have an African pygmy hedgehog.
Yeah.
Now, this it doesn't look quite albino, but it's quite a pale one. There seem to be a lot of albino ones of these on the market.
They are. I mean, that's basically captive breeding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, selective genetic breeding. This is Boomerang.
Are his spikes quite harsh? Or
come and stroke it.
I want to play with the hedgehog as well.
Stroke backwards.
So it is actually furry, this one.
Not fur. The spikes are hair.
Yeah.
Hollowed hair, made out of keratin. Or stiffened with keratin, as ours are.
So more like your nails than your actual hair itself.
It's kind of a mixture, isn't it? Kind of a mixture, really. So when they're happy, as Boomerang is now, that they're quite soft.
Yeah.
They feel a bit like an old-fashioned scrubbing brush or the broom that you sweep the yard with. If she gets upset, then they go very stiff and certainly would have a job to pick her up with your bare hands.
Now, can I have a go at holding her?
Oh. It looks like fur underneath. Is it a lot softer underneath?
It is. It's like a guinea pig underneath.
Oh, OK.
You just hold your hands. She doesn't like her head being touched. Again, you know, defensive from one animal to another.
OK, so...
Oh, she looks lovely.
Oh,
they're very shrew-like in their features. They share common ancestors.
Can they go quite quickly? She's not going to suddenly jump off.
She could do, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
They're quite lively animals.
Yeah, anything could happen at this point. And now she's pointing the wrong way for the camera. So if I turn you around like that, there we go.
Smile. She looks lovely.
And what does an African pygmy hedgehog eat?
The same diet as most captive hedgehogs. A mixture. They're primarily insectivores. Problem within captivity, you can't really just feed them insects because we don't get the broad range of free roaming insects. You know, you certainly wouldn't want to go in your garden and collect the insects out of your garden in case they'd come in contact with pesticides and things. So we feed them things like mealworms, mario worms, different bugs and grubs that are available that are bred commercially and produced for the pet trade. We supplement that with good quality cat biscuits.
Oh, right.
And always fresh water available for them to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're not supposed to... a lot of people... years ago used to put is it bread and milk they used to buy hedgehogs and they're not supposed to
the death
do,
diet
yeah.
Another one of those things that they don't not good for them. Is it so if you are putting food out, is it something like cat food or
dried cat biscuits and water? So yeah, that's what
not of the tin variety, not animal meat. They wouldn't go for that so much.
They would, but the cat biscuits has got a better nutritional breakdown
and it's more controlled, I suppose.
And
less likely to be sugar
and it lasts longer.
Right, Boomerang, you're going back over to John.
Oh, she's lovely, isn't she?
There we go. Thank you very much.
No problem.
It's good to meet them all. And you're just travelling around introducing your friends to schools and at various events.
We're all over. We were at a Sikh festival on Saturday. Been at play schemes over Easter, different holiday clubs, birthday parties, of course, which are really popular. From this week on, back into the schools and the brownies and guides, etc., etc.
And it must be great for them to meet these animals they wouldn't normally see, and fantastic for you because you get to look after them at home.
Well, yeah, I like mixing with people and the animals, of course, so it's the best of both worlds, really.
How do people get in touch if they do want to book you for an event?
Ring us 01902 678 320 or go on the website www.animalantics.net.
OK, 01902 678 320, and you can have a chat and find out how much it would cost to get you along to a different event. Yeah, it depends on who comes along, I suppose, as well, doesn't it?
No, the charge is the same regardless of what animals.
They're paying for you and not the animals.
For me and my time.
Yeah.
Can they specify if they wanted particular animals? Would they be able to
say? We get some who... we did a wedding last year, a goth wedding, who just wanted big pythons. So we took big boa constrictors, big Burmese pythons along for their photographs. You know, or we have people who want the owls and the birds of prey, or, you know, the more curious animals.
And how many animals do you look after then?
Oh, dear me. Different types of animals, probably around 40 different animals. Yeah. Ranging from little cockroaches through scorpions, tarantulas, right up to the big, you know, 4-metre pythons.
Amazing.
Do you do ponies?
No ponies, no.
The pythons would probably be tempted by something like that as well. Okay, well, John, thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing your friends in. Thank you for staying. And do stay for cake, although we all now will go and wash our hands.
We will wash our hands.
On the grounds of playing with your friends.
Always a good practice.
Yeah. Thank you. Cheers for coming in.
Let's have some more music now, Jason.
Yeah. Dave, you have a guitar. Show us how to use it one more time.
I'll do it one more time, yeah. I've seen the little creature that was just sniffing around the studio, and I thought, well, I'm going to have to try this song now. Even though I hadn't come with the intention of doing it, I've forgotten most of it. And also, there's a line in it towards the end, which is a real fossil. You can tell this song was written in the mid-80s, so apologise for that. But I have updated it, but I can't remember my updated version of it, so I'll sync back to the old one.
We'll get what we get.
Yeah. All in all, I'm quite a quiet fellow. I'd sooner keep myself to wickle me. My temperament's exceptionally mellow. It's just that I prefer my privacy. Upset by noise and frightened by aggression, more suited to the shady woodland way. I'll tell you of the cause for my depression. Perhaps you'll understand me when I say, it's hard being a hedgehog in Gornal, competing with the flora and the fauna like nobody's business. Hedgehogs have quite a prickly thing of it, the best of times, but far more than normal in Gornal. I'm happy just to potter round a garden, performing lots of wicked tasks to please. A slug controller's job is quite a hard un, so's nurturing a colony of fleas, knee of fleas. So when I cross the road to my allotment, a shy mysterious creature such as me, science finds such a journey spine-raising and not meant for frames that go concave so easily. It's hard being a hedgehog in Gornal, when juggernauts come hurtling round the corner like it's Silverstone. I'm left playing hopscotch round the entrails of the rambling club that's gone all to charnel in Gornal. By rights, as I'm quite high up in the food chain, most predators should normally leave me be. But that makes no allowance for the rude brains of primates in the near vicinity. My body's been impelled to make a back scratch and used to sweep a chimney forcibly, and served especially cruelly in a darts match to score a record 10,003. With one throw, it's hard being a hedgehog in Gornal. The rubbish tips no playground when you're born all squelchy with short sight. Just try making whoopee with an unreceptive toilet brush. Your hornal get tornal in Gornal. Yes, it's hard being a hedgehog in Gornal. And tasteless anti-hedgehog jibes can spawn all sorts of nasty tricks. I hate starving gypsies slightly less than Rowan Atkinson. See what I mean? Whose cornal be taken for wit? Now, healing's appealing and whopping's quite topping, but Gornal's the absolute pits. It's not bad at all for a pig on the wall, but for hedgehogs it's one heap of grit. Glasspool terriers, air guns and darts to lacerate, squash you and tear you apart. There's places you'll find that think hedgehogs are cuddly, but not in the outskirts of Dudley.
I could hear that one coming. Dave, thank you again. That was brilliant.
From hedgehogs to mares, Jason. Yeah, on the phone we have.
I see the connection.
Yes. Christine Mills is on the line.
Hello there.
The mayor of Wolverhampton. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Are you?
I'm good. Now, you're enjoying your year as mayor still. We last spoke back in January when you were, I think you were preparing for Shrove Tuesday, actually, something along those lines.
That's right, you had
a fantastic time then. I know you've been doing loads of other charity events and making the mayor's parlour accessible to loads of people from Wolverhampton.
Yes.
But you've got another event coming up this Thursday, the 25th, haven't you?
We have, yes. We have a fashion show.
Now, I'm led to believe Dickie Dodd's show. Involved in this one, and he knows nothing about fashion. I've seen the way he dresses.
Well, we're very fortunate that he's agreed to compare it.
Oh, that's so, all right then, as long as he's not modelling.
No, I don't think he will be. I think he'll just be a very excellent compare.
See, I have to work with him when we do the Compton in the Park event in June, and I'd hate to see him, you know, fully dressed up in some fantastic regalia. He normally just turns up in a Signal 107 t-shirt and he's doing with it that way, so no competition in the style front. But it should be a good day. What have you got lined up?
Well, we're very grateful that House of Fraser are actually hosting the event. They're providing all the fashions. And for the first half, it's going to be day and holiday wear. And then after the interval, which we're very grateful that Waitrose are providing the refreshments, the second half will be evening wear. It should be a very good evening for everyone. We're assured that the clothes will be suit all tastes, all ages. Hopefully it'll be a very enjoyable evening.
Can people purchase the dresses or whatever they see on the actual night? Is that...
I don't think they'll be able to purchase them there and then, but I actually haven't asked House of Fraser that, but I'm sure they'll be able to.
I know they have some lovely evening wear.
Oh, gosh, yes.
There's a couple of dresses I've got my eye on.
And when you go along to something like this, admittedly, you get to wear the best bling because you've got the nice chain, but the chains of office aside, is it tricky for you deciding what you're going to go in?
I think it probably will be, yes. I hadn't actually got to that thought but now you've made me think that it probably will be.
And I think a new outfit would probably suit, wouldn't it, really? I think...
pop along.
You made it to a bit of shopping beforehand. You'll be down House of Fraser and having a look, seeing what they've got on the shelves.
Now, that sounds like a very good idea.
I'm going to be in trouble with the other half, aren't I, the way we're going? But there we go.
And, of course, you need, like, the shoes and the handbag and everything else to be with it as well.
Yes, and since it's coming to the end of my year, then perhaps I will to go out... in a good way.
I think so. Certainly the way you should look at it. And obviously you've got probably more charity events on the way too. Is there any other highlights that you can see between now? And is it mid-May that you you finish your stint?
Yes, actually the fashion show is the last one.
But that means you are going out in style, which is certainly the best way of doing it.
I hope so, yes.
And what has been your highlight of your mayoral year?
I think probably the most memorable day was when... the Olympic torch came to Wolverhampton. That was such a fantastic day and a wonderful feeling in the city as a whole. That's definitely a highlight, I think, yes.
Well, are you going to be sad to wave goodbye to it all?
Yes, I am, yes, because it's been a wonderful year and I've met so many wonderful people that it will be quite a hole, yes.
But it has been difficult trying to balance the work that you're doing in your role as councillor as well as being the extra work as being mayor as well. But I suppose it gives you more chance to focus the rest of the life that you've had to put on hold, because I should think it's your family who've missed you most rather than the people who you're looking after in your councillor role.
Yes, I mean, my family have been very understanding, shall I put it like that. So, yes, it'll make life a little easier, certainly, in all sorts of ways.
Well, you've had a good time. And do you know how much you've made for each of those charities who are also going to benefit from the fashion show?
No, I don't know the total yet. There's still money waiting to come in, so we'll wait for the final total. I'm delighted at the money that we've already raised.
Oh, yeah, I know you've been doing really well and you've been really pleased with the events as they've run through. And how do people get tickets for the event this Thursday, the 25th?
They can either phone into the mayoral office, which is 554090, or email themayor@wolverhampton.gov.uk.
So themayor@wolverhampton.gov.uk or 01902 554090, and get through to the mayor's parlour that
That's
way.
That's right.
Councillor Christine Mills, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us on our 200th show, and do enjoy your fashion show. It should be absolutely brilliant.
I will indeed. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What have you got for us now, Dave?
Well, I thought, it's music time again.
I'm really getting into animals now. So
okay.
We'll carry on and see how far we can get, what we can get away with. I live by the canal in Wumben, and there used to be a while ago, amongst all the mallards and that, about three or four or five or six to start with, mongrel ducks. They weren't anything you'd see in the Observer's Book of Birds.
Right.
And gradually their numbers dwindled. And my wife said to me, it's funny, we come on, where do they go? You never see any dead ones. Where do they go? And this is a song about where ducks go to, ultimately.
Take it away.
Duck heaven. It's a little bit like a Devon, without Exeter or Plymouth to despoil the rural idyll, or Duck Heaven. Could be off the A11 just past Cambridge, where it gets all wet and fenny, but you won't find any foxes, and the dogses have jaws as soft as cuckoo spit and eiderdown. It's a world of fun and peace, where supplies of food don't cease, and all the swans and geese say, after you. More than a smidgen of appeal to a widgeon or a teal, there's all the weed you need up in Duck Heaven. In Duck Heaven, they don't sling you on 11 bits of pita bread that passed their sell-by date a week last Tuesday in Duck Heaven. There are rather more than 7 forms of waterfowl. In fact, there must be absolutely stacks. Perhaps there's dozens with their cousins from the wacky world of fable, film and literature. It's an avian cocaine, like a fun resort in Spain, where the mallard snort cocaine and quack all day. Get it, quack. It's the promised land if you are a pochard or a smew. A bonanza for Maganza in Duck Heaven. So if you quack until your horse got webbed feet instead of claws, and go well with orange sauce and egg fried rice. When your skin is crisped and scored, be consoled that your reward is that God'll let you waddle through Duck Heaven. Those are random harmonics, ladies and gentlemen, over there in the back and beyond of cyberspace. Of course, I've forgotten how this song ends, but never mind. Well, never mind. We'll just carry. I don't want to re-edit that, please.
No,
let's
that's
do it
that's
live. It's live. It worked.
I did wonder Gary, where it was going at the end.
It was different.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm not sure where we get those ideas from, but keep it to yourself. No, it's fantastic having you with us. And do you have a website where you share this sort of madness with the world?
No. I don't tweet because I can't work it out. I don't do Facebook, any all that sort of stuff. It's like a reverse sort of marketing philosophy. You want me, you got to find me.
That's the difficulty. How do people actually track you down then? What's the best way of doing it? There must be a phone number. Or just wait for the repeat of Mastermind. Is that the way it works?
Well, you could always ring me on 01902 326 949. I don't turn my nose up at offers of money. and I think if you put David Love Stegosaurus into Google. There's something.
Obviously.
But David loves Stegosaurus. I think something that leads you into a number of YouTube hits that people have.
Things you've been filmed doing.
I was filmed when I didn't know it was being done. But I've since found that they're there.
David loves Stegosaurus or 01902 326 494. And you could actually hire this man to come and sing for you.
Yeah.
Perhaps I could do a double act with the Animal Man.
Birthday party. Actions. John, what do you reckon? You up for that?
I think we could. You could do the musical interludes.
There could be a whole new evening ahead of you here, but there we are. Guys, thank you all for joining us. Chess has had to run off. We've still got Dave and John in the studio and the animals. Jan is here as well. Now, Jan, we have the cake. So this is the point at which I think we get to have a slice of cake. Are you setting fire to things first? If so, do come here and try and set the smoke detectors off.
I was going to take pictures of
them. Oh, you're taking one. So I'd better light the...
Can you do
it? Yeah, I can do that.
So, they look a nice bit of sponge, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's my favourite cakes.
Here goes. Who's going to blow the candles out?
Shall we all go?
Yeah, I think we should. That sounds sounds like a plan.
Is your hair setting on fire?
3, 2, 1... The cake is now extinguished. I have the knife.
Some icing
who wants cake?
Point. Oh, please. That looks
I've got to remove the fantastic looking bow.
It's a shame to cut it, but.
No, it's
it
not. It's cake.
Nice.
That's what cake is meant cake. For. So, who wants chocolate cake?
Me.
Dave? John? Yes.
Jack? I'm on a diet, but.
Well, it's a celebration.
Is it cream and jam in the middle?
Jan, is it cream and jam in the middle?
No jam.
No jam.
Cream. Oh, buttercream. I like
that's
buttercream.
Posh. So, who wants the word bar?
Bar.
No, I will cut this cake like a normal person, surely. But it's time for us to say goodbye with cake in our mouths. Please come and help yourselves. And we'll be back for episode 201 next week. Dave, do take a slice of cake.
It looks good enough to be shop-bought.
John,
help yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us over the last 200 episodes. There should be cake every week, I think. But
definitely.
Uncle.
That's a bit of sponge.
Yeah, thank you. Zoe, thank you. Thank you to all the other co-hosts. I shouldn't talk on my mouth. They've joined us over the last 200 episodes. Look forward to the next couple
next
of hundred.
200,
yeah,
yes.
Sounds like a plan. Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.